Welcome to Sellersburg United Methodist Church podcast, where we bring our mission to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world to you, wherever you are.
Well, as you might have heard, our pastor has fallen ill and is not able to be with us this morning. He and his family have been struggling with a stomach bug, so we certainly want to remember him and his family this week as they are healing. And last night, he let us know that, so that's why I'm speaking. And as I've said many times before, when I have presented a message, just remember that this is something that will make you appreciate him and all of his years of study more. When he does come back, be sure to thank him. So today, I want to talk about a topic that we all might have experience with, but may struggle to speak about. So that topic is suffering. It's kind of awkward to talk about, and we often feel guilty about our own suffering. Maybe we compare it to others, but our pain is real. It shapes who we are and how we respond to the world. And in the scripture I'm about to read, Peter teaches us how to live with suffering and how to acknowledge God's presence in our suffering. He tells us that there is a presence, a guardian of the soul that gives us hope. This is the one who understands our pain, who's been where we are, and walks with us through the suffering. And this guardian is a close companion who cares for us. So this is why Jesus, the shepherd, is also known as the guardian of our souls. We can trust him, knowing that he understands our pain and walks with us through it. And as we see the same concept that's in 1 Peter, we'll also read from the 23rd Psalm, which is believed to be written by King David, a man who knew both joy and suffering. Today we're going to explore the idea that Jesus, as our shepherd and guardian of our souls, will let us have open hearts and minds. So I'm going to read the scripture here and we'll delve into this together. So first from the 23rd Psalm, you might be familiar with this. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff. They comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. Now, from 1 Peter. For it is a credit to you if, being aware of God, you endure pain while suffering unjustly. If you endure when you are beaten for doing wrong, what credit is that? But if you endure when you do right and suffer for it, you have God's approval. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When he was abused, he did not return abuse. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that free from sins, we might live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. For you were going astray like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and the guardian of your souls. The word of God in scripture, the word of God among us, the word of God within us. Thanks be to God. So, about 10 years or so back, I went on a road trip to Washington State with some friends, and as part of our free-spirited itinerary, we just drove around and saw things that looked exciting. And one of the bold and foolish decisions that we made one afternoon was to pull over and hike up a mountain. Has anyone ever hiked a mountain? Yeah. I hadn't. I am not athletic. I got winded walking up the stairs today, let alone going up a mountain. We had not prepared for this, but we simply saw a beautiful trail off the side of the road. So we parked our rental and we went for it. This trail was very steep and rocky, but the views were breathtaking. And although I had taken some amazing selfies to show for it, by the time we reached the summit, we were feeling pretty lousy, to say the least. So we took a break and admired the vistas. One of my friends, who was also very sore and very out of shape, decided to do a little yoga to stretch out her sore muscles. So she found a flat rock. She started doing some downward dog facing positions, getting all stretched out, trying to heal her muscles, when suddenly the rock shifted and she lost her balance. So from my perspective, I saw her on this flat rock towards the top of the hill. I noticed her stumble backwards, and from my perspective, I saw her disappear over the rocks. Fortunately, just to give it away, she was okay. She hadn't gone far. She only fell on her backside just a few feet from where she had started. But we all reached over to make sure she was okay before laughing. And as soon as she sat up, we did realize she was in no way injured. As we saw her, yes, we burst out laughing because you see her yoga pants had developed a big rip in the backside, and she now sported a massive hole. Despite her embarrassment, she could not help but join into the laughter. And she said, "Well, I guess I'll have to suffer through this hike with a little extra ventilation." We all laughed, almost so much that we forgot about our own sore muscles. Now, as I mentioned earlier, today we're going to talk about suffering. And while I definitely felt sore after hiking, I've never hiked before. And at the time, I would have announced how much suffering I'd endured going up this mountain. I hardly think that that counts as suffering. And similarly, my friend who ripped her clothes while falling technically suffered through the hike with extra ventilation. But had she fallen further and harder, perhaps she would imbue the word suffering with a new meaning. On the one hand, talking about suffering is easy. Everyone has experience with suffering. Sometimes it's even humorous. On the other hand, we struggle to talk about suffering because we often do that comparison thing and decide that our suffering isn't as bad, or maybe it's worse than other people, and therefore we feel guilty even thinking about it or even naming what we feel as suffering. But our pain is our pain. And it is real, and it shapes who we are and how we respond to the world. This is what Peter is trying to get us to understand in this scripture today. How we live with suffering and how we acknowledge God's presence in our suffering is what makes us able to endure. There is a presence, a guardian of the soul that he argues gives us hope. And that presence is the one who is familiar with suffering. And the key here is not to diminish our pain by comparing it to his. Rather, the promise is that this one understands. This one has been where we are. This one walks with us into the suffering. This guardian is a close companion, not one who waits until we make it through on our own and then gives us a gold star or some other kind of commendation. No, this one is right there with us. This one knows us. This guardian cares for us. This is why, in addition to being the guardian of our souls, Jesus is also the shepherd. We understand what a shepherd is, even though most of us are somewhat removed from the sheep herding business. Maybe. Yeah. We're familiar with that image, though. We've heard sermons. We've seen images of Jesus as the shepherd. And we get it. And in large part, we get it because of a guy named David, You know David, Old Testament, King of Israel, war hero, builder of palaces, writer of Psalms. A lot of Psalms do get attributed to David. But the truth is, we really don't know how many or which ones were actually penned by him, or just which ones were attributed to him. Some people probably wrote their psalm, put his name on it just to get it published. But I like to think that the 23rd psalm, this one, our text for this week, was the one that David wrote. Something he plucked out of the air on a lazy afternoon as he looked after his sheep. Imagine this. It was just a little ditty. He couldn't even get his brothers to listen to it whenever he got back to the homestead that evening. Hey guys, I wrote a new psalm. Listen to this. Moans and hand gestures abound, and the brothers probably told David that he needs to put the shh in shepherd before scattering out. Even old Jesse wouldn't listen. It's real short, Dad, David whined. It'll just take a sec. Maybe later, Davy. I've still got work to do. You know how your mother gets when we're late for supper. So he scoots out the back door, making sure that screen door doesn't slam because he gets heck every single time it does. And with a sigh, David glances at the old sheepdog curled up in front of the fire, who doesn't even lift his head, but he manages a slight wag of the tail that thumps against the floor. And that's all the encouragement David needs. Maybe he pulls his lyre off his back and says to the dog, it's my best so far. It's going to be a big hit. I can just feel it in my bones. And he starts to sing. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life. The final note seems to hang in the air like a spark ascending from a warming fire. David senses that he's not alone. He sees his mom come in from the kitchen, wiping her eyes on the calico apron that she's worn to prepare more meals than she can ever remember. She flashes him a proud smile before she scoots back to her stirring and baking. The brothers who earlier sought an escape from yet another psalm of David now seem mesmerized. They're caught up to another place as they bump into each other as they drift out of the room. And even Jesse seems at a loss for words. He opens and closes his big farmer hands as though grasping for words that are out of reach. Davy, he croaks with a voice filled with emotion. But still at a loss for a way to name the moment, he instead clears his throat and heads out to wash for supper, the pump handle creaking in the silence made by the new song. David turns back to the only one unaffected by the event, the old dog, tail still basking in the warmth of the fire. He tilts his eyes toward David and seems to say, it's better in the King James Version. That's how I imagine it, at least. How could he know those six verses would become the single most remembered part of Scripture around the world? Maybe he sensed it even as he wrote it, or as it came to him in that curious process called inspiration. Inspired. Inspirited. A human or divine encounter that left us with six verses that speak to deep places in our souls. A psalm about wanting, or wanting and having. Or having so much, being so filled, that wanting doesn't even enter the picture anymore. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Not because wanting is bad, but because there's nothing to want anymore. The 23rd Psalm speaks of a someday when the deepest longings, the strongest wantings are satisfied by a relationship with the divine, with something bigger than anything our own minds can comprehend. We call that something Father, or maybe Mother, because we want it to be as real as those caring and protective arms that wrap around us when the storm begins to rage around us. We want it to be like that guiding hand that helps us see the world right in front of our faces because of our fear or our ignorance or our selfishness. We can't see it. Until those strong and patient and infinitely loving hands take pains to point it out to us. And in the meantime, we want. And because we live in a world of amazing resources, we can be convinced that this thing or that thing can fill us and fill that aching need. And if we just had one of those, if we just looked like her, or drove a car like him, or dressed like those folks, then our wanting would be done. Except it isn't. The fixes that the world offers are always short-term. They might last a while, but then we have to upgrade. Then we need the next new thing. Or then we discover that the features of our current thing don't include the satisfaction or contentment, despite the advertisement telling us otherwise. So our solution, we think, is to settle. Settle for less. Be satisfied being half empty. Be content with a vacancy in significant places. Learn to live with what is. Good enough is good enough. But that's not what the 23rd Psalm says either. It talks of banquet tables. It talks of overflowing cups. It talks of peace and of being pursued by goodness and mercy. It talks about not wanting, not because you've trained yourself not to want, but because you are filled over the top and spilling over. Yes, some of it is learning to want properly, but mostly it's being so filled up with love and support and care that you can't imagine what could possibly be better than that. So as I come to the end of this message, I do want to leave you with a challenge. We've been reminded today that we have a guardian of the soul who's always with us, guiding us, protecting us all through life's own challenges. So I challenge you to trust in God's care and guidance in your own daily life. When you face difficult situations, turn to God. Seek his wisdom. Seek his guidance. When you feel lost or alone, remember that you have a loving shepherd who will never leave you. So I also encourage you to share this message of hope and comfort with others. There are people in our communities who are hurting and in need of God's love. So let us be the hands and feet of Jesus, reaching out to those who are struggling and offer them the same hope and the same comfort that we received. And when we do leave here today, may we leave with a renewed faith and trust with God's care and in his love, that we can live our lives as a testament to his love and his grace. And I ask that you remember the words of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Let us trust in his care and guidance now and always. Amen.
We thank you for joining us today. And it is our hope that you have experienced the blessing of God through our time together. If you'd like to know more about our church community and its ministries, visit our website at sellersburgumc.com.